caused some really bad repetition, almost in a sense of paralyzing me, not able to act the way I was supposed to act normal. And during this time in my life, I really thought there wasn't much hope for me in the sense of moving forward in life. There wasn't much hope for getting married. There wasn't much hope for having children. The normal life had disappeared. And it was only by the grace of God, by His healing, and by His touch, that the Lord really changed my whole life around, really put me moving forward for Him. Hope restored. And of course, Melon, by the grace of God again, said yes to me, and we had kids, and you know, it's not all about that, but just the sense that Jesus came and restored and healed. And today, I feel like I'm going to be preaching in both the Chinese service and this service, but I really feel like the Lord's calling me to share about healing. And so we're going to be looking at 2 Kings 5. And before we do that, let me pray. Jesus, we ask that You would come with Your Holy Spirit, that You would just fall upon us. Areas that we have tried to forget, that we have tried to hide, in the areas that we, you know, day after day try to repair, but we just can't get there. And Jesus, with Your Holy Spirit, to really heal, to mend, to anoint, to love, and to restore, so that we may live for You and have that life and life to the fullest that You promised. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. We're going to, here at C4, I really have four goals. First goal is just that we would be a welcoming group. First impressions are very important. Okay? And if people come in and they don't feel welcome, why stay, right? Number two, to give and receive grace. What's the New Testament? What's the gospel? It's grace through Jesus. We need to receive it and we need to give it. And with that, to be real, in Taiwan we had church, and a lot of times people come and say, hey man, church is real. You don't want to be real, there's probably no reason to come to this church. Hopefully that would be said about us, that, you know, if you're not real and coming here looking to be real with Jesus so that He can do things in your life, then we're just going through the motions. No one in here is Superman or Superwoman. We're not perfect. We have hang-ups. We got problems. Jesus wants to heal those, which leads us to the last part, to be healed, to heal others. Most everyone has been hurt, and Jesus wants to do something. It says in John 10:10 that the thief or Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He's not looking for you to have a good life. But the Son of Man has come that you may have life and life to the fullest. And, you know, one thing is I share about two S's. The first is that Jesus saves you. But He just doesn't save you and push you out and then you're on your own. He also wants to sanctify you. And part of that sanctifying process is healing. So today, we have two purposes. One is for you to receive healing from Jesus. And two is to give healing from Jesus to others. And today, a lot of times when we talk about healing, we think of physical or healing from sickness. but we also today want to focus a lot on emotional healing. So we come to 2 Kings 5, 1 through 4, 1 through 14. I'm just going to read this. Now Naam was commander of the army, the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands of raiders from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naam's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naam went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naam left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter I am sending my servant Naam to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robe and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me?" When Elijah, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robe, he sent him this message, "Why have you torn your robe? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naam went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elijah's house. Elijah sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naam went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Aben and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, 'Wash and be cleansed'?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. I think what we'll do is we'll go back up a slide. Because the first thing that I want to point out is that this guy Naaman in verse 1, he's pretty high up there. Commander of all the army. He's got high status. It says also that he was highly regarded. And it even says, interestingly, that the Lord is working through him. This guy has it together. But he has leprosy. And it's interesting how so many times we believe this fallacy and we look at people and we say, "Man, they got it all together. They don't need any healing." But really, on the inside, they are deeply broken. In Taiwan, we knew a lady, we'll just call her G, and she was a professor. She had tenure, she had 5 to 7 years to retire, and she came to church always dressed really nice. She did something, she did it well. She was on top of it. And one day I was preaching on Romans 8, verse 15, when it talks about, you know, God did not give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of adoption, or you are a child of God. And God's spirit speaks to your spirit. Gee, she broke down, just weeping. In fact, she totally froze up so tight. She fell on the ground. Come to find out that when G was young and something would happen, and she would begin to cry. Her mother didn't know how to deal with her, so her mother just put her in the bathroom. If you know bathrooms in Taiwan, they're usually damp and cold, and just locked her in there. So G would cry even more, and, "Mom, let me out, let me out." Mom would not answer. So G would, in the corner, curl up, still crying, whimpering, looking under the door for the bit of light that would come in. And at that time, God's Spirit was speaking to her spirit, saying, "I love that little girl." And of course, G would say, "No, I hate that little girl. That little girl's weak. She cried all the time." And of course, we can understand now why G was the way she was, dressed perfectly, high achiever, regarded by people. Because she truly understood that when you are weak, when you cry, when you have any type of problem, you are unwanted. You are unaccepted. You say the word rejected. But if you have it all together, you're okay. On the outside, everything was together. But on the inside, falling apart. A lot of times this happens to us. We learn how to wear the mask. We learn how to quote cope in society. We just keep busy so we don't have to face the thing that has hurt us so deeply. But the fact is, when someone looks as though they have it all together, a lot of times they don't. It's interesting in verse 2 that there's a poor girl. She's been taken captive, but she's the one from Israel that says, "Hey, can you tell Nahum that if he just goes to this guy in Israel, this prophet Nahum, that he can be healed?" What is she doing? What she's doing is she's giving the secret of healing. This is where you need to go. Now, when we need healing, where do we go? Hospital, right? Or doctor. That's a good choice. Okay? A lot of times, even, you know, God, doctor, hospital, some of us think God, some of us don't. Where else do we go? I thought of books. Self-help books, right? How can you get healed? I thought of the bar or the beauty salon. You know, let's sit down and talk. You know, if I just talk through my problems with someone, things will be okay. I even thought of the bazaar. People go and get healing from some pretty weird places. But what about our number one source of healing? God, Jesus. And where does Jesus live? You. The church. His people. The body. What is the Israelite girl doing? She's pointing people to the church, to Nahum. He knows God. And if you go to him, God will use him to heal you. Now it's interesting in verse 5 how he gets all prepared, right? He gets a letter. He gets a lot of money. He gets some clothing. He's going to buy the healing. And that's kind of how we are today, right? If I just get enough health insurance and I save up enough money, things should be okay in the future. No matter how sick I get. They don't equal. it's interesting then, the king of Israel, he gets this letter and he's like, whoa, wait a minute, I'm not God. I can't heal. Where is his focus? On himself. When someone comes to you, the church, and says, man, I got this problem. We're kind of like that, aren't we? Wait a minute, whoa! But hopefully we get the part where then it goes to Elijah in verse 8, and he's like, hey, king, you send the guy to me, and I will show him that there is a prophet in Israel. He's basically saying that God reigns and that God can heal. That's what we do. We're the same way. I can't heal you. You've got much hope with me. But like the servant girl who was a prisoner, because a lot of times we were prisoners and Jesus sets us free, and then we say, hey, but I can point you to someone who can heal you. And we have to have that faith that when we pray and we direct people, Jesus can heal you. We get to the very end, and there wasn't some amazing thing that happened. Just went to the river, dipped himself 7 times. Man, if I was Nahum, I'd be like, oh, right. This is awesome. No more flaky skin. The last verse is interesting how they portray it. And his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. I think that's what Jesus wants to do for us. That with all of our emotional hang-ups and things and hurts from the past, that He wants to restore us back to that time when we were young. It's interesting that Jesus says, let the little children come unto me. Unless they come to me as the faith of like a child, cannot enter the kingdom of God. God wants to restore us. He wants to heal us. Now there's different types of healing. And try to bring those up here. I've listed some of them. There's the fallacy of those who have it all together, don't need healed. Church heals by pointing people to Jesus. Types of healing. First of all, everyone needs to be healed. Because number one, the scriptures are very clear that we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23. Romans 3:10. There are none righteous. No one. That's our problem. Today we'll have a baptism. And I ask 2 questions in the baptism time. It's like, why do you need to be saved? Got a big problem. What is that? Sin. What's wrong with sin? Everybody's got it. Everybody's doing it. Because sin separates you from life, who is God. And so in every area of your life, you begin to have problems. Because we live in a sinful world, we have problems. And so these other areas, physical sickness, we need healing. You know, Pastor Kurt likes to use the word presse. P-R-E-S-S-E, down here. Your physical relationships. Unless you live in a cave or some island with no one on it, someone's going to hurt you. Because sinful people and unhealed people hurt people. Emotional healing, Jesus wants to bring.
spiritual healing, sexual healing, even economical healing, which sounds funny. But Jesus talks a lot, most about money. And He doesn't want you to continue to use it in an unhealthy way. Don't raise your hand, but if I ask you the question, how many of you have been hurt? How many of you would raise your hand? Now, we have some very young ones in here, and maybe they haven't experienced the taste of pain yet. But the fact is if you've ever tried to ride a bike, okay, and if you're like me, my little girl takes off, and then I'm kind of like, whoa! You know, I tried to run after her, bam, she hits the ground. Like, oh, man, I didn't, you know. Ah, Dad, you know, like, she got hurt. Anyone who's ever talked to anyone, and I know everyone in here has talked, you get hurt. Anyone who has ever been through middle school or been a teenager knows hurt. I don't know why kids are so cruel. They just are. If you ever find a kid in middle school that likes to encourage you day after day, just hang out with them. Okay? And I don't mean like, you know, the type of encouraging that middle school kids give, you know. These hurts become wounds. If you have a wound, it takes some time to heal. Depends how deep it is. And a lot of times, if it's real deep, then it forms a scar. It's ever a reminder. These hurts form wounds, and the wounds form strongholds. And these strongholds, a lot of times, can come from lies that we believe. Hurts form hang-ups. Really strange habits. All these things, the way that we act and react, because we've been hurt one time. The fact is that hurt people hurt others. Let me say that again. Hurt people hurt others. If the fact is everybody's been hurt, then we got a serious problem. Now, in the church, there's a bit of a fallacy, another one going on, is that, hey, look, he knows Jesus, he's been saved. Therefore, you know what? He's probably got it all together. Probably doesn't have anything wrong with him. Probably just a nice guy all the time. Fruits of the Spirit, got all nine of them right there, ready to pull them out and use them at any time, even when the going gets tough. But that's not true, is it? People in church don't have it all together after they meet Jesus. In fact, they now enter into that area we call sanctification, or that growing process where we're becoming new and things are getting changed, and even those changes are difficult. And like I've said, Jesus is healing us and shaping us, molding us. So how do we fix the fallacy? These things that I've mentioned. Grace is so important. I mean, I just feel guilty. In fact, I feel guilty for not feeling guilty. Grab some grace. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Be real. Don't enter the room and, okay, now I got the tie on, the suit on, you know, make sure anybody asks me, good, I'm good. No. Share, really, what's deep. Now, don't just be a billboard and post it everywhere, but gradually begin relationships and be real. People know if you're real or not. Be healed. how to fix it. Question: rain plus dirt equals. I already gave the answer. How many of you have ever been stuck in the mud in your car? You know, some truck or tractor. See, I grew up on the farm. Drove tractor. Anybody see tractor wheels? Like up here, like 6 feet, right? I try to think I'm a pretty smart guy, but a lot of times I'm not. So anyhow, I'm driving the tractor and I'm pulling it through the field, and it's just one muddy spot. I get stuck in it, and I'm like, okay, I'll try to raise the implement in the back, and I'll try to get out. And these tractors, they're just horsepower extreme. So mud is not going to stop the tractor wheels from turning. So my tractor wheels are just turning. 6 feet gets down to three, pretty down to two. And I'm just dug in, throwing, And when you get stuck, what's happening? The wheels are spinning. You're doing a bunch of work, right? The tractor is still working, but you're going nowhere. A lot of times when you have a deep wound and you can't get healed from it, it's what it's like. As Christians, we pray and pray more. I read my Bible more. If I do this more, I just get over this hang-up. Also, when you get stuck in the mud, what's happening? Mud is flying. Tractors are great when you drive down the road and there's mud on the wheel. It just goes everywhere. When you're stuck in mud, it's just thrown everywhere. I mean, people that have showed up to try to help are like running because they're getting hit with mud. The tractor is getting hit in mud. You're on it. It's getting mud on you. Hurt people hurt others. And this is what it's like. Because they start throwing mud at different people, and they don't even know they're doing it. And what do those people do? They don't stand there like, that's great, give me some more. They run. They run from you. They take cover. A lot of sense, sometimes if you're stuck in the mud, just stuck. You need healing. You're not going anywhere. It's a lot of times maybe you feel a sense of unworthiness. I've been reading this book, Healing Your Heart, Painful Emotions, but one is Healing for Damaged Emotions is one of the books in here. This is why I got the bandages up here. How do you put a bandage over your emotion? But Jesus wants to do that. Maybe feel unworthy all the time. No one loves me. Not good enough. Sometimes it's a perfectionist complex. If I do this and do it more, then I'll earn my love. Other hang-ups, super sensitivity. If you got that, you're seeing things other people don't see. You feel things other people don't feel. You walk by someone and say, hey, what's up, Johnny? All of a sudden you get a call from, hey, you like Johnny? You didn't stop and say hi to him and talk with him a long time. Oh, I didn't know I had to. In Johnny's eyes, you had to. Super sensitivity. Sexual problems, hang-ups. Fears. The list goes on. Another example of this is you ever see those movies? I just like action movies. And an action movie usually has to have a sword or a gun for me to really like it. Okay? And the good guy, he's in a bind, and what does he do usually? He looks for like some ammunition compound or ammo supply, and then he takes one shot at it and it blows up. you know, bullets are going everywhere. And of course, the enemy, again, they don't stand there. They run. They take cover. It's like that wounded person. They begin to explode everywhere. And people are like, I'm getting out of here. I need to take cover. A lot of times, though, if a person's wounded, it doesn't have to be mud flying or ammunition going off and hitting people. Sometimes they're the paralyzed person. They don't do anything. They're very quiet. Very withdrawn. In fact, say paralyzed because they've become inactive for Jesus. They need healing just as much as the exploding person. Oh, I forgot to do the picture. Steps of healing. First of all, acknowledge you have a problem. Sounds pretty simple, right? What's the first thing they do in Alcoholics Anonymous? AA. Hi. I'm Kurt. I'm an alcoholic. That's not true, but that's what they say. They don't really like the taste of it. Yeah. Who said that? There you go. That's in the... Man, you should get up here and preach it. They're confessing what they've done. And we can't be in denial. We can't bury it. We can't hide it. We just have to acknowledge our problem. Two, decide if you really want to be healed. In John 5, Jesus is at a pool where many people who are lame and sick are there. And there's one guy who has been invalid for 38 years. And Jesus comes to him and he asks him this question. Do you want to get well? Do you want to get well? And it just seems like a silly question. 38 years. Of course the guy wants to get better. But sometimes we don't. We've lived with something for so long, we don't know what to do without it. Sometimes we don't want to get healed because we're too busy with life, our career, accomplishments. We had one woman call us recently and say, hey, I need healing. Fly out. I want to fly you out to do this with me. And we're like, okay, well, you know, you're a part-time nurse, so you're going to have to find some time off. And you're doing full-time school, so you're going to have to find some time off of that. And, you know, with your mother and that, because you're a mother of two, and, of course, a wife, you're going to have to talk to them. And this woman, she's Chinese, she's like cooking. Every moment that she's not doing something, she's cooking. We went to visit her. Wake up in the morning, she was cooking. You come back, she's cooking. She didn't want to take any time off of those things. You're busy? How's Jesus supposed to speak to you? Therapy. Sometimes, you know, do you really want to be healed? No, I just want to go to therapy. Oh, you mean you just want to talk to someone and revisit these things over and over again, but you really don't want to be healed? Sometimes people have lost hope. Can Jesus really heal a person like me? Sometimes we'd like to continue to keep that blame on others. I don't want to forgive them. They should pay for what they did. And if healing means I have to forgive them, it's not going to happen. Number three is interesting. Assign, accept responsibility correctly. What part of the problem were you responsible for? Sometimes this gets hazy, right? especially if you're a kid. And I just say most of the time, if you're a kid, you didn't have a lot of responsibility in things, especially if it was related to your mom and dad, because you're just a kid. But not always. And that's why, when it's confusing, it's really important that you get a mature Christian adult to help you work through what you're responsible for and what you're not. Because I've seen a lot of people confessing and asking for forgiveness for stuff they're not even responsible for, but they thought they were. My mom and dad got a divorce. It must be because of me. That person hated me and did that to me because of the way I acted. Maybe. Maybe not. What are you responsible for? Fourth part is very important, the forgiving. Ask God to forgive you. Just called repentance. Confess what you did. Ask God to forgive you. Make some changes. Forgive others. Now, we don't forgive others because they're worthy or qualified. We forgive them only because Jesus forgave us. Colossians 3:13, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And we don't confuse forgiving with trusting. Trusting is something that's built over time. Jesus calls us to forgive. A lot of people have a really, really difficult with this sixth one. Forgive yourself. We can forgive others, but we can't forgive ourselves. And a lot of times we hold on to guilt and we punish ourselves. But if Jesus can forgive you, you need to let go of that guilt, that shame, and give it to Him. And let Him have lordship. These are verses at the bottom that the Scriptures say to us. Let's read 1 John 1 through 9 together. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Psalm 103:12. Let's read that together. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. How far is that? Too far for me to get back a hold of it. If God's done it, let Him do it. The seventh one, interesting one. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you the real problem and how you need to pray. I wanted to focus more time on this today. We'll take what time I got left. A lot of times in our heart, there are things that we cannot heal just by the regular routine of things. Such as, oh, if I just pray more, I'll get healed. If I just read the Bible more. If I just go to more functions, healing seminars. It all comes back down to ourselves, trying to heal ourselves. And a lot of times there's things under that we don't see. You know, you can see the tree, you can see the fruit, but you don't see the roots. Or the same with a cold. You see the snot, you feel the headache, you hear the cough. But you don't see the virus. Okay? And a lot of times, those things we don't see, we don't understand. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and speak to your heart about those things. In Romans 8, it talks about the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. Interesting how that works. in Romans 8, 26 through 27, it says, in the same way the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, we do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Maybe you've been cheated on. Maybe you've been sexually abused. Maybe the words that you remember the people saying to you are so painful that you've hid it, that you deny it. Maybe you know it's there, but you just can't get over it. But the Spirit wants to come and heal. Sometimes I have people come to me and they will express the pain. And it's very interesting how they express the pain and they know exactly what's going on, but there are no emotions connected with it whatsoever. You ever been hurt before? Real bad? Usually you get some type of emotion with it. If it's not screaming out in pain. If it's not weeping. The fact is, when the Holy Spirit comes, He is going to do some things. And one is He's going to take you back to the event that was harmful or painful. And when He does that, that event will be connected with emotions. And He will bring those back up too. If the emotions don't come with it, you're still blocking whatever's there. Might be. Many times we don't like to show emotions. Men don't show emotions. Asians many times do not show emotions. But the fact is, you feel the same as everyone else. And the Holy Spirit wants to come and heal you. What you need to do is take some time and come before the Lord and allow Him to speak to your heart. You can do that with a friend. You can do that on your own. But until you do it, a lot of times just mud will be thrown. You'll be stuck. You'll be paralyzed. Jesus wants to heal. Allow Him to do that. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that You would really come and teach us about this area. Church after church has people with serious hang-ups. Everyone has them. Jesus, we want You to come and set us free, to move us beyond, to make us active for You in the real sense. God, that with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, that we love You, God. Come and heal, Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray.